Good morning. Let's do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
I love it when you guys get enthusiastic. That's great. Welcome, everyone, to our worship this morning. A couple of announcements that I want to make mention. J. Crew Elementary Youth Group will not be meeting tonight. Just got that head shake. Okay. They will not.
Next Sunday.
Did I have that wrong? Okay. I just like to know where to put the blame, so okay. All right, but youth group, the basement dwellers, will be meeting Monday at 7 o'clock. Saturday, October 31st, did want to make mention of this, that we are going to go ahead and do our trunk and treat in the parking lot. So if you want to help out, that would be great. Just park in the parking lot. Candy to pass out to the kids. If you don't want kids coming to your house, it's a good way to do it. Wear gloves. You know, whatever you need to do to be safe. But anyway, that's going to be happening 6 to 8. And there is going to be, their town of Matthews is also doing one up at the community center, too, where they're going to have a costume judging thing also. So you want to pass that on to kids and families. And I know the fire department always has down there also a place for kids to go to. Couple things on the back of the bulletin I want to address. Sunday, November 1st, Scott Swan, Channel 13 newscaster, is going to be here to share his testimony. He's going to be at both services. And we tried to decide how to do that to still practice safe distancing and all that stuff. What we're going to have to do is, you're welcome to bring some people with you if you want, but please don't go overboard. Don't do, invite everybody you know, because we still, again, are wanting to practice safe distance as much as possible. So just keep that in mind. But also, Saturday, November 7th, we're going to have another concert. The New Spear family will be here. Now, you'll notice on the back of your bulletin, if you jump down three spots there, there's an important notice that says we are tentatively planning on returning to only one service beginning Sunday, November 8th. Now, it says upon the current safety statutes, it's statutes, okay, or status or whatever you want to put in place of statutes, in case you get confused with that. Anyway, that's a tentative plan. I know things can change, and they are changing all the time with what's going on, so just kind of keep that in mind that we're going to try to do that, but we may have to change our plans that way then, too. So, okay. That's announcements I want to bring up. Does anyone have an announcement they need to bring up before we get to our time of praises? And I know you're going to want to share that, so you can start thinking and try to get your mind from going blank to just focusing on God's amazing grace. All right, let's begin our worship then with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for another beautiful day. And even though it's cloudy outside and the sun's not shining, it is still a beautiful day because we are with you. And we are able to enjoy the beauty that you give us through life, through love, through hope. And so we celebrate that this morning. All the things that we do, all the things that we say, may we commit them to you this morning so that you may be honored and glorified. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. So we're going to give you an opportunity to share some praises, and I know we're going to start with, Julie has something that she wants to share. We're going to start with her. So, go for it, Julie. You need to stand up so they can see you. I didn't mean that by it's like she's so short, okay. Okay. Thank you. As Julie said, just again for the sake of the video here, just thanking everyone for just their kindness. And I know it applies to the fact we're retiring, the fact that it was our anniversary. And these flowers, what I'm wearing, a flower, and actually with a coat too, And Julie has a wrist corsage too. It came from a very dear friend in the church here who gave us these in commemoration of our anniversary. And so that was just a very sweet thing that we wanted to thank her for. And also just for just the many blessings that you give us every day. So this was just kind of a, we wanted to make sure that was acknowledged then. So, all right, what other praises do we have this morning? Noah.
While we're on that topic, Janet, you'd come down here.
Well, you come with a microphone even.
I do, prepared.
Ooh. Is that your own personal mic?
Yes.
Okay.
Trust me, I wouldn't use it unless I had to. Well, since this is Pastor Appreciation Month, kind of what Jan was kind of alluding to there, we want to give you a gift. So, Julie, if you'd come up as well. Yeah.
Again.
That's right. You can even stand by him if you want.
And you can show your flowers off, too.
See? All right. I just have a little something to read here. So I can't take credit for this. I wish I could.
Okay.
But this is entitled "To Our Pastor." You teach us from the Bible, words of love, and so much more. Your dedication to God's word is something we are grateful for. You show us Christ as surely the answer, and that he'll strengthen us each day. You never seem to get weary, helping others along God's way, full of wisdom, guidance, and loving concern. And your encouragement means so much to us. We're so blessed that you're our pastor, and our lives you've truly touched. And Julie. This one's entitled "To Our Pastor's Wife." It takes a special person to be a pastor's wife, for it is not an easy task or a simple way of life. The phone often rings at dinner time. Vacations, they are few. With so many needs in our church, there is always lots to do. When people need a helping hand, on you they can depend, for you always try to do your best to be a faithful friend. So keep this in a special place so you will always know you are a special gift from God who is appreciated so.
Thank you.
So this is on behalf of the church. Just a gift from us to you.
All right, thanks.
And I just want to tell you, happy appreciation, Pastor Appreciation Month.
Thank you.
And I shake my hand.
I'm gonna give you
a hug here. It's not just me, it's everybody else. So
thank you very much. Thank
you. I'll give you a hug too.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Jules. So thank you all once again. Thank you, Noah. Any other praises that we have this morning? Hilaria.
Yes, I wanted to give a report on Jackson Shen. He is in China, and he has been in Shanghai. He does. He is estimated to have been testing negative for the virus, but he has had to quarantine in Shanghai for 28 days.
Wow. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Next day. So if anybody wants to call me or text me or something, email me. Hurricane Michigan, he will be 35. So everybody has been so friendly to him. He's a giver of love, and he has so appreciated the love that we have given him during the time in Indiana.
Great. All right. Thank you, Luria. Just an update on Jackson Shen. And as Luria said, he's doing well. He's got a big challenge ahead of him. So we continue to keep him in our prayers. But also his birthday is Thursday? His birthday?
Friday.
So if you want to send greetings to a birthday greetings, just let Luria know sometime before Thursday night because she's going to be doing a Zoom meeting with him. All right. Thank you very much. Any other praises we have today? Phyllis. All right.
Phyllis. What's so amazing about this is that she is an
So Phyllis's reporter and her granddaughter going to semi-state and cross-country. Thankful for God working in her body, able to do that even with asthma. So, anyone else have a praise that they'd like to share this morning? All right. Then Carla is going to come and lead us in a song.
Okay, if you'd like to stand with me, if you're able. We are going to be singing a song of praise, My Savior, My God.
To understand what God has willed, what God has planned, I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word and do. Christ died to save me, yes I read. And in my heart I find the need of Him to be my Savior. That He would leave His place on high and come for sinful men to die. So once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God He was, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. Living, dying, let me breathe. My strength, my solace from the spring. That He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior. That He will leave His place on sinful man today. You count His dream, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior.
scripture reading today comes from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
Well, you see the boxes up in front. You know what I'm going to talk about, right? This has been a year like no other. And I'm sure it will take some extra planning and arrangements for shoeboxes to be delivered around the world this year. I'm wondering if there will be fewer boxes because some people have lost their jobs and have less money to spend for the gifts, or they don't want to be in the store shopping. So, for many of us who have not had that problem, maybe we can do a little extra because we know there have been a lot of people who have lost their jobs and can't do what they normally do. Please take a box this morning, and the labels are right beside them. You choose your boy or girl and the age that you put on your box. How many have never done a shoebox? You haven't been here. Oh, good. Looks like everybody has. So you know a little bit about how to pack your box, and it has to have the label on the age of the child. I wrote notes because otherwise I will forget things that I want to tell you. You can also use regular shoe boxes from home, or you can buy the plastic boxes that you get at most every store has them, but they're a little cheaper, I think, at the dollar stores. I'm not advertising for them, but anyway, that's what I have found. If you were here last year, you know that we had to eliminate some things that we used to be able to put in the boxes. There is no toothpaste, candy, anything liquid or breakable, no guns or warlike items. You can put in a squirt gun if it doesn't look like a real gun. So if you include your address, you might possibly hear back from the child. It would depend on where it goes because some areas are so primitive. I don't know if they even have a post office, but anyway, they would need a translator to translate the letter for you to understand it in English and so on. You can also track where your box goes if you want to do it online. And if you do it online, you'll have to use your credit card to pay the $9 shipping costs. But if you just bring it to church without doing it online, you do not have to pay for the shipping. So another point, if you, boy, there are a lot of people up there. I need to look up, don't I? If you want to use your own shoebox, be sure to wrap the top and the bottom separately if you want to wrap it. Some people just put, you know, use the shoebox without any Christmas paper. But if you do wrap it, do the top and the bottom separately because they go to processing centers and they need to check inside to be sure there are no items that aren't supposed to be there. So that's just one note. The collection date is November 15th, so you have almost a month to buy your things and get them ready. And if you have any questions, ask Jan or me, and we'll try to answer them for you. So I think we have a video, if I can say it, all set to go. And this is always fun for me to see the children receiving their boxes. The happiness on their faces is just very exciting and rewarding to me. So please participate as you can and enjoy the video. Thanks.
At the count of three, when children open the shoe boxes, they're so excited.
Those faces just transform.
Yeah, these kids behind me are so excited because they've just received their boxes.
The mouth is wide open, the voice is raised, smiles are all over. That box brings joy.
We're right now in Phnom Penh in Cambodia. I mean, it's just been incredible. Kids are so excited, giving them a gift. Do it in Jesus' name, and that's what this is all about.
Jesus loves you.
It's a gospel opportunity. It's the chance for the children to change the entire life.
That's what I love about Operation Christmas Child. It knows no borders and knows no boundaries. It's all about sharing the name of Jesus Christ.
Churches are doing big things with Operation Christmas Child.
Everybody out there who packs shoeboxes, they are spreading God's love.
It's families, it's churches, it's hundreds of thousands of volunteers that help make Operation Christmas Child so successful. We couldn't do it without them.
With this box, they do get the gospel story. They do hear about Jesus.
It has maximum impact in the worldwide kingdom of Christ. I mean, what better thing could you do than be involved and fill shoeboxes?
Some of them go by train, some go by camels, some go by ships. These boxes go all over the world, and that is only the beginning.
After receiving the shoe boxes, the children will be invited to go to the Greatest Journey, which is a 12-lesson discipleship program where they learn about the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ.
After a child completes the Greatest Journey, they graduate and receive a Bible in their own language.
Nag-istorya ado pa hindi nga kanta mo may campaign agkan kan dadita sa ngo mo imbasa mo basi hindi mo ni papa ni lola ni lolo ni papa mamat kat mamati da ken ni apo Diyos.
When the light of the gospel is turned on, that changes everything.
Churches are being planted.
Lives are being changed. Communities are being transformed. He is alive,
shining in the darkness. The word of God is spreading. The gospel is advancing.
It is impacting children. It is impacting families. It is impacting the world greatly.
Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. I would like to ask you to consider packing shoeboxes year-round. God will bless, and God will use your gift to touch the life of a child and to be able to do it in Jesus' name. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of it. God bless each and every one of you.
So there you have it. We'd like to see all those boxes disappear over the next 3 weeks so that you can bring them back on November 15th. 15th, yeah. So anyway, so it's a great opportunity to reach out and to bring some joy, which, as we know, this pandemic has taken hold over the whole world, and it isn't just our country, it isn't just our area. It's around the whole world that it's affected. So this can be a great thing to be able to do when we feel we can't do many other things. So There's a couple other praises I want to throw out there. First, I want to say it's good to see Doug with us today. I didn't expect to see you back at church so quickly, but it's good to have you here. So, and also, I want to tell you also that last week I had put the challenge out. We had 6 Compassion International packets left of our for the kids sponsorship. All of them are gone. So, praise God for that. That's 15 children that now have a sponsor. So we're excited about that then too, to see what God wants and where He directs. The only thing I want to remind you though is that by October 27th, that those have to be in. You have to send your form, your card in, or your money. You know, just check the back of that. But by October 27th, otherwise they just consider that they haven't been selected. And like I said, it goes back into their database. So, all right. So, any concerns that we need to lift up today? One I wanted to start with was Don Tinsley texted me this morning that Coy Hutcherson, who has been here to sing a few times, I'm friends of the Tinsleys, his dad has COVID and has pneumonia. So, prayers for him and his family. Are there others that we need to lift up today? Kristen? So that's a friend of Kristen's who lost her baby. How old was she? 13 months, wow. So prayers for that family. Yeah, Sharon.
Yeah, my son's friend, Stephen Devin, passed away this week. And prayers for his family and the friends. I know my son really struggled with it.
Okay, that's Stephen Bevins. Passed away, okay.
And then also my sister and brother-in-law were released from the hospital yesterday. They both had COVID. They both had pneumonia. Still struggling to breathe, but
okay. Prayers continue for Sharon's sister and brother-in-law, home from the hospital after getting COVID, but still need prayers. Okay. Anyone else we need to? Sue? Okay. For Larry Barth, his family. Okay. And for Sue's husband, Dan. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go to God with all the things that are on our hearts, the praises, the concerns, the worries. Let's take them all to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here today once again, for allowing us the privilege of being together. We know that's not always true in many cases, in many countries, but we still have the freedom to be able to meet, whether as a whole group or as part groups, but we are still the body of Christ, and we thank you for being able to be a part of that. We thank you for the blessings we've heard this morning of ways you are working continuously to work even in the midst of difficulties and challenges that we face. But Lord, we also take time this morning to bring our concerns, our worries to you, seeking to find your peace and your comfort and your strength in those that are in great need. So this morning, for those who have been mentioned, we hold them up to you, releasing them into your arms, whatever the need is, whether it's comfort, whether it's dealing with the loss of a loved one, whether it's the uncertainty of not knowing what the future might hold. And for those that just, again, just need to know your presence in their lives, We pray for these things, and help us not to let worry consume us, but to trust you for the answers that you promise and you deliver on. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your work that is already beginning. As we lift these people up to you right now, you are already beginning that work. So we thank you. We thank you for whatever the future holds. We thank you for our nation that in our world that is going through extreme trying times right now. Again, we know you're working. Just give us the continue to place in us the hope and the faith that we need. Lord, in all these things, we are thankful. All these things, we are grateful. And may in all these things, may we remain faithful. So with that, let us join together in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Okay, if you would like to stand with me if you're able, we're going to sing Holy, 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 and the children are dismissed to junior church.
A woman once shared that her favorite place at her local zoo was at an exhibit called the House of Night. And it was a place where you could see creatures of the night that would crawl and fly about. That sounds like a really creepy place to me. But because it held all these creatures of the night, it was totally dark. And she said that one very bright day, she stepped into the exhibit and, of course, was immediately plunged into total darkness. Suddenly, she felt a small hand grab hold of her hand. So she knelt down and she asked, "Who do you belong to?" And a little boy's voice very quietly replied, "I'm yours until the lights come on." Now, darkness, as we know, is real. It can be overwhelming at times, especially when we feel isolated and alone. And that's why our scripture text this morning can actually be a difficult one to hear. Because we Christians want to have a faith that's nice and clean. We want a faith that is easy and neat to understand. We want a faith, truthfully, that is joyful and upbeat. And yet the scripture passage we're going to look at this morning is from the book of Job, which is really none of those things. In fact, the book of Job is messy, it's complicated, and actually very depressing at times. So why would we even look at this book? Why would a book like that even be in the scriptures? Well, because of all those things that we say the book of Job is, that's why this book is so important. Because see, the book of Job gives us permission to feel bitterness in the presence of injustice. Job allows us to be upset and to cry when God seems unfair. Job says it's okay to ask, "Where are you, God?" Because Job also tells the story of how faith can grow even when we don't understand. So today, I want to talk about hope. And believe it or not, a great place to look for that is in the book of Job. Now, if you aren't acquainted with Job, he's a man who was always considered upright, very righteous, very faithful, always has been throughout his whole life. But he's a man who one day is hit hard, basically slammed with all these, you know, one trial after another. And each trial just keeps getting worse. All of his livestock is stolen. Servants that keeping track of them are murdered. Then all his children are killed in a freak windstorm. And finally, Job is afflicted with a terrible, painful skin disease that covers his entire body. As a result, Job is, you know, he's at his wit's end. Just as we would be. We would think, how many more things are going to happen to us? Now, Job's often visualized as just sitting there patiently, quietly, never questioning. And that's where we get the phrase of someone having the patience of Job. But in reality, Job not only doesn't know why all these things are happening to him, but he's upset, he's terrified. He wants to confront God with all these things, all these questions. But there's no comforting words. There's no soothing voice coming from heaven. There's just the feeling of God's absence. Have you ever been there? Ever felt like that? Times when you desperately want to hear God, to feel God, for God to simply explain what's going on. And yet it seems that God simply isn't there. We're going to look at one passage from Job this morning. Job 23. Job replied, "Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him, if only I could go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. Would he vigorously oppose me? No, he would not press charges against me. There the upright can establish their innocence before him, and there I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I want to make sure before I turn this. That I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. But he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. He carries out his decree against me, and many such plans he still has in store. That's why I'm terrified before him. When I think of all this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my faith. A couple weeks ago, I talked about Mother Teresa and her amazing work with the poor, the sick, the dying, all in the slums there of Calcutta, India. And so by all the things that we usually measure life with, she was the epitome of rock-solid faith. Yet listen to this, because things weren't always as rock solid as her outward appearances indicated. For example, in 1979, about 3 weeks after she accepted the Nobel Prize for her work, Mother Teresa wrote a letter to a trusted spiritual confidant. And this is what she said. Jesus has a very special love for you. But as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and I do not see, listen and do not hear. My tongue moves in prayer but does not speak. I want you to pray for me that I let him have a free hand. And in one of her journals, she wrote this, "When I try to raise my thoughts to heaven, there is such convicting emptiness that these very thoughts return like sharp knives and hurt my very soul. I am told God loves me. And yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul." This is Mother Teresa. And you know, this isn't to, I don't share this to take away from her memory or to take away, or even doubt her spirituality. I share this to reassure each one of us that it's okay to admit that we all have periods of darkness in our lives. We all face the sorrow and fear of losing a loved one or agonizing and watching a loved one suffer. Some of you struggle in the face of overwhelming pain or disease. Families break up, marriages, relationships dissolve, leaving nothing but stress and depression. Along with this, how many times do we find ourselves worrying about finances? And then to top it off, when we cry out to God for help and comfort, oftentimes we don't seem to get any response. No reprieve, no release. So just like Mother Teresa, just like Job, how can we still have hope? Well, with great pleasure, I tell you this morning, all is not lost. Isn't that good to know? There is always hope. But let me tell you, hope is nothing without faith. Hope is nothing without faith. Listen to these words from Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And this simply means that faith brings assurance to hope. In other words, our hope lies in the future, but without faith, it's only optimism. It's only wishful thinking. If we are not willing to put our faith in God who raised Jesus from the dead. See, as difficult as it may seem, in the darkness, all those times where we struggle, first off, we have to acknowledge that we need God. We need God, and we don't need God's answers. We don't need necessarily His solutions. We need God. As we heard in Job's words, even as he complains about the absence of feeling God, he still plows ahead, persisting in his search for God. And he states that in verses 16 and 17. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face. In the same way, Mother Teresa found her way to get through her spiritual struggles because she never abandoned her faith. She never abandoned her belief or her work. What kept her going many times? One aspect was she surrounded herself by spiritual advisors, faith-filled friends. Many times we seek to deal with our lack of hope, our anger at God, whatever we're feeling, by staying away, by distancing ourselves from people who can actually provide faith and hope. One of Mother Teresa's friends shared this with her. There is no human remedy for the darkness in her life. And feeling Jesus' presence is not the only proof of His being there, because her very craving for God was a sure sign of God's presence. And the absence she felt was part of the spiritual side of her work for Jesus. Let me dig into that just a little bit. See, we are created to want, to long for God. We are designed to desire God in our lives. That's who we are. That's part of our lives. That is created within us. Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants for water, my soul pants for you. We don't create those things in ourselves. God does. And so when it seems that God is completely absent, this craving for God is actually an indication that God is present in your life. Did you ever think about that? That craving for God means that God is starting to work in you. And this longing then becomes a basis for faith, the foundation for faith. And when we recognize this deep desire within us, we know that we are not alone. And it gives us the strength to plow ahead. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. And that's also why when United Methodist founder John Wesley went through his own spiritual slump, he wrote, preach faith until you have it. Then, because you have it, you will preach faith. That means we must be diligent in our prayer life. Even if it involves praying prayers full of complaints about not feeling God's presence. But we feel guilty about that, don't we? It's like, I can't pray because I'm struggling. And that's exactly when God wants us to be honest and open with Him. And the writers of Psalms, we see that time after time after time. They're filled with complaining. But there's always hope. And if we go back to Job, we see in the midst of everything, Job never stops talking to God. Neither can we. Job may not understand how God hears him, but it's a statement of faith that Job is able to voice his pain and his confusion to God. That's why we're better off to question God or cry out to pain, as Mother Teresa does, than it is to turn away from God in our times of darkness. In fact, we need to embrace the fact that God willingly entered into a time of darkness on our behalf. God, in Jesus Christ, came to this earth, subjected himself to hatred, brutality, and even death. Why? So that we might have hope. Face it, we know God better because God came to earth to live among us. We know God's grace and his love more completely because Jesus not only taught us about God's love, but he demonstrated it by dying on a cross for us. And when he himself felt abandoned by God on the cross, he persevered because he knew he was a part of the plan. God's plan to save the world. Hope comes from God. Job learned that. Mother Teresa learned that. John Wesley learned that. And we can learn that if we refuse to let our struggles pull us away from God. When my mom died back in April, that hurts so bad. And it still does. But even though it was painful, my hope was instantly, when she died, was instantly fulfilled. Because I knew by faith, without a doubt, where she now was. Now it's true, God's time is not our time. God's ways are not always our ways. And God says that very thing in Isaiah 55. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, everyone here has known and experienced God's love at some point in your lives. That's most likely the reason you're all sitting here this morning. And having known and experienced God's grace and love, we cannot honestly say that they don't exist. Once you've experienced it, it's hard to say God does not love me, God does not care about me. So truth is, actually, our struggles in this life are simply a pathway to knowing God better. That means in those deepest, darkest hours of our life, faith can grow. Because we already know the reality of God's love through Jesus Christ. We already know his faithfulness. We've experienced that. And then when the darkness goes on for weeks, for months, or maybe even years, even when we cannot see, we can cling to that faith and strive after it. As Job said, hope will give you courage. Courage to continue, courage to keep seeking, courage to trust. That's why Team Hope Cancer Ministry chose for its slogan, "Let your faith be bigger than your fear." It doesn't say there won't be fear, but faith is bigger. Once again, all is not lost. God is at work in this world. God is at work in our lives all the time, even though we can't see it, even when we can't understand it. That's hope. That's faith. Let's turn to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the love you've given us. We thank you for the hope that you've placed into our lives, because it is a gift from you, a hope that finds satisfaction in knowing that what you say is true. And through that, our faith continues to grow. May we open ourselves to you, to all the things you have for us. And may we share that hope, that faith, every chance we get. We love you and we thank you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
If you would stand with me, we will be singing Alleluia.
Let's kick off our campaign for Operation Christmas Child in a big way. Let's take the boxes, take 20, 30, we'll order more. And if those of you who are watching online, if you want some boxes, let me know. We'll make sure you get them. But let's just do this. This is a great outreach and a great way that we can spread hope. So may you go in God's peace. Amen.